Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's always a joy to be with you and to share God's word with you. And as we start, I want to ask a question, get you participate a little bit. How do you describe your relationship with God? How do you describe your relationship with God? Now, there are so many ways you can answer that question. And in Acts chapter 27, we will see how Paul describes his relationship with God. In fact, he refers to himself as one who belongs to God. He belongs to God. Now, belonging to God is the theme that I want for us to consider this morning. We will focus our time this morning on belonging to God, and that's the title of the sermon. Belonging to God, as simple as that. So our text is in Acts chapter 27, but before I read it, let me give you a bit of context. So Luke describes in Acts chapter 27, with a lot of details actually, a very difficult journey. So Paul is heading to Rome. He's on a boat. He's not on a cruise. He's a prisoner. In fact, he's been in prison for over 2 years. He was arrested back in Jerusalem the Romans arrested him for what we would say disturbing the peace. But in reality, Paul is innocent. He was being persecuted or being, they were trying to kill him. A mob of Jews were trying to kill him in Jerusalem because they claimed that Paul's teaching is contrary to Judaism. You could read that in chapter 21. And after 2 years in jail and a change in the Roman leadership of the region, a change that threatened Paul's ministry, Paul appealed to present his case to Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, he has that right. And the governor at the time just conceded to that and decided, okay, to Caesar you appeal, well, so to Caesar you will go. And there Paul is on this boat heading to Rome to present his case before Caesar. That we're in chapter 27. Now, the voyage, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, so I'm going to give you a little a highlight of that chapter, and then we get to our reading. So Luke describes in beginning of chapter 27 how difficult that journey is. Those guys just encountered bad wind, and Paul, in fact, in verse 10, he told the mariners, look, guys, if you go on with this trip as planned, you will encounter much injury, much loss, not only of the ship, but also of lives. But they didn't listen to him. Why would they listen to Paul? I mean, he's not the professional mariner, so he's just a guy who preaches. So they didn't listen to him, so they went on their way. And things got pretty bad. They got hit by a nor'easter, and that nor'easter was battering the ship. The ship was about to be shipwrecked, so things got pretty bad. In verse 20, that's where we're going to start reading, where you see that the folks on this boat, they had lost all hope for survival. And there's no indication really in the text that Paul was an exception in that. But let's read Acts chapter 27. We start in verse 20. So difficult journey, and we got to this point in the journey. Paul is on the ship. Luke is on there too. Luke is the author of the book. And we start in verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. I told you so, kind of deal. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground to some island.'" Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you as your people, as your servants. Please speak to us. Holy Spirit, open our hearts. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to apply what the truth that we hear. Use your servant to proclaim your message to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, belonging to God. That's the title of the sermon. So the focus of the sermon will be in verse 23, and really particularly will be on the phrase, the God to whom I belong. That's what the focus will be. I'll cover about three things: what belonging to God says about us, what belonging to God says about God, and how we're to live in light of that. So the first one, what belonging to God says about us. So as a warning to you, I'll be covering a lot of scripture, so bear with me. What belonging to God says about us. Belonging to someone. We don't typically use that kind of language to describe our relationship. We don't typically introduce ourselves, say, hi, I'm John, I belong to so-and-so, or so-and-so belongs to me. That's not the way we describe ourselves, because this language is a bit offensive, belonging to somebody else. But in first century Palestine, it was not unusual for someone to actually belong to somebody else as a slave. So in the time of Paul, as he was talking about that, the people hearing the message, the God to whom I belong, that would have resonated to them. It means something. Belonging to someone indicates a relationship, but it's a relationship where there's an authority structure. The one who actually is the object of belonging has no authority in that relationship. He's owned. He has no authority in and of himself. The position, the role of that person who is belonged is to submit, complete submission. That's what the person is supposed to do, the one who is belonged. So what does belonging to God mean for us? What it really means for us as Christians, as Christians, is we are servants of God. We serve God. And King James, the King James translation of verse 23 actually is a little closer to what the Greek is. It says, it's an angel of God whose I am and whom I serve. So the Greek word translated as worship in the ASV is actually, could be translated also as serve in a really religious sense. So Paul is saying, I belong to God, the angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. See, Paul, in his head, there's a relationship between belonging and service. If I belong to God, I am at his servant. I am at his service. I'm a servant of God. And Paul really refers to himself often as a servant of God. In his letters, in the epistles, he always, often, really refers to himself as a servant, which is a slave. A slave-like. In Romans chapter 1, he introduces himself as Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And to the church in Philippi, again, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. And to Titus, Paul, a servant of God. So Paul recognizes that he is God's property. He belongs to God, really as a slave, one who is in complete submission to God. So Paul recognizes that he is an instrument in the hand of Jesus Christ. And in fact, Jesus refers to Paul as an instrument. In Acts, in the conversion of Paul, that's exactly how God refers to him. He says, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry out my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Jesus appeared to Paul and make it again clear for him in Acts chapter 26. He says, I've appeared before you for this purpose. This is Jesus, the Lord, speaking to Paul. I've appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness of the things to which you have seen. So Paul rightly understands his relationship with God. He belongs to God. He is under complete authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to submit to the Lord. Now, it is not surprising that Paul, a Jew, could say that he belongs to God, because, in fact, belonging to God is part of the Jewish identity. They are the people of God. God refers to the Jewish people as his treasured possession. Very possessive language. So Paul, a Jew, says he belongs to God makes perfect sense. And even from a larger perspective, for Paul to say that he belongs to God because he's a human being, That would make a lot of sense because he is God's creation. And in fact, we can all relate to that because we are God's creation. We belong to God. No matter where you are in your faith, you cannot escape the fact that you belong to the Creator. You belong to God. You, in this relationship, you are not in charge. God is. So regardless of where you stand with your faith. So what do you do as one who belongs to God? Your role in that relationship is complete submission. You obey. You obey the Creator. You obey the Lord. You obey God's command because He's the one who owns you. That's true service and true worship. But in this text, in Acts, in chapter 27, and particularly in verse 23, what Paul is saying is much deeper, much more intimate than just a relation, and just a Jew saying that he belongs to God. It's more, much more intimate than just a human being says, I belong to God. He's saying that there's a relationship between me and God, but that relationship, that belonging to God, is that really, it's marked by the love of the Father. It is sealed by the blood of the Son, and it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the relationship that Paul is talking about. When he says, an angel of the God to whom I belong, he recognizes the whole triune God is involved in this relationship. I belong to him because of the love of the Father. I belong to him because Christ paid for this relationship. I belong to him because the Holy Spirit empowered this relationship. So that's what Paul is talking about in Acts chapter 27 when he says that he belonged to God. His life, Paul's life, was redeemed, was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Paul was dead to sin at one point. Now he is alive in Christ. So this life that he now lives, he lives for Christ. Paul recognizes that. He's sold out to God. He's sold out to Christ. He belongs to Christ as a slave. That's what Paul is talking about here. And you know, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can, you are in that relationship with the Lord. You belong to God in such a way, you know, in a way where the Father has called you to himself, in a way that the Holy Spirit, the Son, has purchased your life, has paid for your life. So you belong to him. He paid for you as a ransom. So you are in that relationship. And the Holy Spirit is there empowering this, making it happen. So that's that relationship, that intimate relationship that Paul is talking about in Acts chapter 27. It's relating to you too, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. And our role is to be to serve the Lord. As his servants, we are witnesses of Jesus Christ. Witnesses in this world that is so in need of a Savior. Now, belonging to God doesn't really mean that our lives will be rosy. It's just all song and dance, I guess. Storms will come. We'll face trials and tribulation. But like Paul, even in the midst of trial, even in a storm, we can say with confidence that we belong to God. Circumstances don't change the fact that we belong to God. He is committed to us. Paul is very confident of that fact, that he belongs to God. But where does that confidence come from? It is certainly not on his own ability or our own ability to maintain a relationship with God. It is because of what Christ has done. That's why Paul's confident, so confident that no matter what circumstance may come my way, I belong to God because of the accomplished work of Christ. He belongs to the resurrected Christ Jesus. And Jesus, now, for trials and tribulations to come, he may be, you know, shaking you a little bit. And Jesus knew that, and he told his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 23, he says, in the world, you will have tribulations. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So when you're hurting and things are not looking so good, and can you rest in the fact that you belong to God? Whatever the circumstances may look like, you belong to God. Now, there are times when we face challenges that are so difficult that we lose any hope that things will work out in our favor. And when they don't, that doesn't mean that God has somehow abandoned us, disowned us. And Paul, who wrote this, whose life we're talking about here, he knew quite a bit of challenges himself. If we were to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about all the afflictions that he went through. He went through many imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. He was shipwrecked 3 times, he says, and this is probably one of them in Acts chapter 27. And you know, most of the time, God doesn't intervene in our situation in an extraordinary way. Like in this case, an angel of the Lord showed up. But most of the time, he doesn't use such extraordinary means to intervene. But yet, he always is present. He always sustains us. And the psalm says, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Never. But in this case, he intervenes. He intervenes to encourage Paul. You see, in Acts, in verse 20, I found that fascinating. That they had lost all hope. The angel showed up, encouraged Paul. Now, there are times when we are going through difficulty and we can't hear from God. But there are times when he speaks. He speaks in a way that is not extraordinary way. I'll give you some example. I was going through a difficult time once, and I'm driving home. I'm sobbing, and I was, the radio was on, and it was on a Christian radio, and a song came up. The lyrics of the song were exactly the words that I needed to hear at that time. It was fascinating to me. Say, how is it possible that I'm going through such a hard time that the words of this song would be playing at the exact same time when just my heart is just on the, just bare? It's a sign that God sees me and knows me. I belong to him. The situation, he sees it. He just shows up, just a song, just to remind me of some truths. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. But sometimes he's a little bit more dramatic on things. I remember I'm going to RTS, going to a seminary degree there, pursuing a seminary degree. It's been a while. So when I first started at RTS, RTS didn't accept any financial aids it was a complicated process. So financially was a burden for me. So I didn't know how to pay for this. And again, I'm praying. I'm driving home from work, and I'm praying in the car. I'm on 270, driving north, and I'm praying, Lord, what am I to do with this situation? I feel the calling to go to seminary, but financially I cannot do it. I'm praying. And now, to let you know, I like reading those license plates, those vanity plates. For some reason, I just like reading them. Figure out what they say. That's one of the pastimes for me on the highway. So I'm praying, and I literally said, Lord, what am I to do? Quit? And as soon as I said that, a pickup truck cut me off on 270. That's normal in 270. That's very expected. So I really kind of shook me a little bit, and I wanted to respond appropriately. And then I looked at the license plate, and the license plate says, don't quit. I was like, wow, okay, I guess I won't quit then. You see, again, this is silly, but yet this is so meaningful. Because I was praying, and I was in need. It was a burden for me. And I'm literally praying, Lord, what am I to do? Quit? And then, bam, like, whoa, okay, I guess I won't quit. And I didn't quit. About a year later, I figured out how to pay for that year. Another year later, I'm at it again. I said, Lord, here we go again. What am I going to do? And as I'm praying, the phone was next to me, and I saw an email from RTS, which just flashed through. And I said, okay, when I'm done praying, I'll look at it. So after prayer, and I looked at the email says, well, we are pleased to announce that we now accept veterans' educational benefits. I'm a veteran! Yes! So I've been going to RTS paid for. Thanks for paying your taxes. Paid for. Completely paid for. So what was the point? I belong to God. I'm going through a situation. He didn't take me out of the situation. He knows me. He sees me. And he chose that moment to encourage me. Don't quit. And that served me so many ways at RTS when I'm writing papers late at night. Why am I doing this? People ask me a question. Well, you're an engineer. You have a day job. Why are you going to a seminary? Yeah, good question. Don't quit. Okay, I won't quit. So, see, I belong to God. So God chooses so many ways to just communicate to us. So that segue already into the second point. What does belonging to God say about God? Well, the main thing that he says about God is that he has complete authority over us. He's our master. You belong to him. Now, hearing that he has authority over us can be a bit uncomfortable because we don't like people having authority over us. We want to be our own kings. But in this relationship, God is the king. God is the master, and we belong to him. In Jeremiah chapter 10, so it's really important, before I read Jeremiah, it's really important for us to know that who you belong to matters. It's one thing to serve anybody. If you serve the king, there's benefits that come with that. It's one thing to serve, if you were one of my servants, you really, I'm sorry for you. There's not a whole lot you gain from it. But you serve the king. It's totally different. So who you belong to matters. Paul recognizes that he belongs to the God of the universe. So in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6, the prophet writes, "There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King." So we belong to the everlasting King. He reigns forever. He does whatever he pleases. He is King. In Psalms 115, it says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases." He does all that he pleases. Second Chronicles, "O Lord God, our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." That's the king we serve. That's the God we belong to. He is the everlasting king. He rules over everything. Everything is under his control. He does whatever he pleases because everything was made by him. So that's the king Paul belongs to. So that's where Paul can find that confidence. He can say these things when we get there. We'll get there in a little bit. So the Lord, the everlasting King, has authority over everything and everyone. But he exercises that authority with an abundance of love. Because the authority of God can probably scare us. But he is a God who's mighty, but he is also love. And it is out of love that he decides to redeem a people for himself. Out of pure love. Because we don't deserve any of it. And God claims this in Isaiah chapter 43. Says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name." Check this out. What it says? "You're mine." I love that language. I love that language. A possessive language. When you consider the one who's saying this, it is the God of the universe. "I've redeemed you. I have a claim on your life. You're mine. You belong to me." That should scare you. It should. But he's also full of love. He's also full of love. And that's where Paul recognizes that. Paul really realizes this God that he belongs to, he is mighty, he is great. I'm in the storm, things are not looking good, but I belong to God. I belong to God. Nothing can separate me from this God. That's why Paul can write in Romans chapter 8 such powerful statement. It's kind of long, I'm gonna read it. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Is Paul writing this stuff? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the commitment that God has in this relationship. God has invested himself in this relationship. So belonging to God is from God and for God. It is God who initiates this relationship. We cannot claim in and of ourselves, I'm going to enter a relationship with God. You can't do it. God has to call you to himself. And that's exactly what he did in Christ Jesus. That's the message of the gospel. God so loved the world that he would send his son to die for us, to bring us into a relationship with him. Now you belong to him because he has redeemed your life. In this modern day, it's very difficult for it to wrap around your head this concept, because back then, when you're a slave of somebody, you belong to that person. Now, in some ways, you know, as a human being mastering somebody else, you see all the fallenness, the flawness, but we're talking about God. He's perfect. He is love. So as he leads, as he cares, his love comes with it. As he exercises authority over you, his love comes with it. Paul is on that ship. He recognizes that. An angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve shows up. Because he knows that God. That's why in the end of the verse, he's saying that it will be done exactly as it says. Exactly as it says. Take heart, man. He's encouraging the man. It will be done exactly as it says. He knows God. So I don't know what circumstances you'll be facing right now, how difficult things may be for you. But know that you belong to God. He loves you. He's committed to you. If he can send his son to die for you, you think this little problem can stand in the way?
That's right.
It can't. So Paul sees that. Paul is convinced of that. He's a servant of God. And that's what what belonging to God means. What does it say about God? It says God has full authority over us, but it's an authority that he exercises with love, with great love for us. So now, even this little situation that's happening, like Paul is on that ship, God is reminding him, okay, you're on that ship because I want you on that ship. In fact, Luke shows how there's a journey that Paul was embarking in, that God is leading him through. And in Acts chapter 22, you'll see a journey. Let me give a few verses for you. He says, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. This is God talking to Paul. I will send you far away to the Gentiles. In chapter 23, verse 11, he says, the following night, this is the Lord talking to Paul, the following that the Lord stood by him, by Paul, and said, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." So even in the text we just read, in Acts, in chapter 27, verse 24, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar." So again, you see, there's an action, there's a movement forward happening. Who's doing that? It is God doing it. God is leading Paul to Rome. He told him so. Even when he called Paul to go to the Gentiles. In chapter 22, Paul was already arrested in Jerusalem. God told him, "You're going to Rome." Now, how he gets to Rome is just the details. But you're going to Rome. And there Paul finds himself on a boat heading where? He's heading to Rome. God told him. Probably would have preferred to be in a better condition, not with a chains, but the fact remains, he's heading to Rome because God says so. God is sending him. God is leading him. And in fact, the book of Acts is an expression, is a demonstration of how the servants, the witnesses of Jesus Christ are being, they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. They are being led by the Holy Spirit to communicate God's love, God's message, God's will for humanity. That's the theme of Acts, where the servants, the witnesses of Jesus Christ, they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to go about and communicate God's will for humanity. That's exactly what Paul is doing. Paul is on that ship because the Holy Spirit is leading Paul to go and communicate God's will for humanity. Notice that on that ship, Paul is witnessing. On that ship, Paul is already magnifying God's will. On that ship, the people on that ship now know that this God that Paul belongs to has full power and authority. Because Paul was in that shipwreck, the people in the island of Malta, we continue reading, these people, they now know, wow, there is a God. Because lives were saved on that ship. Why? Because Paul was on that ship. God is saving through his servant. God is being, the power of the resurrected Christ Jesus is being ministered, is being on display through the servant of God on that ship in the middle of a storm. Even through a shipwreck, God, his name is being glorified. So, what does belonging to God say about God? He is in complete authority in this relationship. He leads us with his spirit for his glory, no matter what the circumstances may look like. He is at work, like he was at work on that ship. And the last point, what should our lives look like since we belong to God? How do we live? And that's a basic question of applying God's truth in our lives. That's where we get our Christian ethics. Now, I encourage you to, in your small groups, to just consider that a little bit more this week. What should it look like? Since I belong to God, what should my life look like? Well, here are some thoughts to get the conversation going. Since we belong to God, our lives should be witnesses of our Lord. Especially in this fallen world. That's what it means. We are servants of God. People should see God's love, the love of the Father being shared through our lives. Our life should model the work of the Son, the gospel, what it should look like. And the power of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives because we belong to God. So in light of that, as people who belong to God, people who display God's love, people who display God's the work of the Son, the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, you can imagine what a community of people who belong to God should look like. This is a church. This is us. A group of redeemed people. People belonging to God. Going about showing the love of the Father, displaying the work of the Son, and really displaying the power of the Holy Spirit. This is us. This is a community. So as we do this blog series, for example, I encourage you to participate in that. You know, the mission of Covenant Life Church is to worship God, love one another, and make disciples of Jesus Christ. But as we love one another, knowing that I belong to God as a redeemed of the Lord, you belong to God as a redeemed of the Lord, how then we express love, the love of the Father for one another? How do we do that? Showing brotherly affection and tolerance. How do we extend that love to the larger community, to go out and about, being servants, witnesses of the resurrected Lord Jesus in the community, so they can see the Father through the way we live, so you can see the power of the Holy Spirit through the way we live, so you can see the fruit of the Spirit through the way we live. So as you share in the blog post, this is church, how you experience the church, just encourage one another in this way. Now, I know that life is not rosy all the time, that our relationship is not all that fun all the time. There's our relationships as people of God, as redeemed of the Lord, can be stormy. I recognize that. But that's an opportunity for us to express the fruit of the Spirit whenever these situations happen. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That should be the mark of us as a community, as a people who belong to Christ. Yes, that is true. We're not going about every day singing, everything is awesome, everything is cool, we're part of the team, everything is awesome when you're a member of CLC. We don't go about that. That's not. We know that. We're brothers, we're sisters, we're the redeemed of the Lord, servants of God, going about the community, expressing God's love for the community. Some of the things there. Maybe you've been, one thing that kind of, forget this for a minute. One thing that I realize is that it's easy for us to believe, to trust God on those big things. He's my Savior. He's my God. I belong to Him. We just lofty. But we neglect Him in the small things, in the routine things, as though this God somehow is not near, is not present to see us in our situations. We try to figure things out on our own, as though we are our own masters. But Paul, there he is in this situation, he realized, no, I belong to God. I serve Him in every detail. Everything will be done exactly the way He says. So, maybe you've been hitting your head against the wall trying to solve an issue that, you've exhausted all your resources to get there. Maybe it's time for you to stop and listen. The God you belong to actually speaks. Maybe you've been praying for a while for something that you really, really want, really desire, and this wait, you've been waiting for a long time, and the wait is getting frustrating, like the word was shared earlier. And I understand how painful it could be to wait, and I know it's much easier said than done, what I'm about to say, but I'm encouraging you to find satisfaction in the God to whom you belong. Rest, because the God to whom you belong, He actually satisfies. And maybe you believe in God, but for you, God is distant. He's far. But this is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is near. He's present. He's on that ship with Paul. He sent an angel to talk to him right there on that ship. This is how present, how near our God is. So, see, if you're struggling with that, that you feel that God is distant, just remember the gospel, how Christ died for you. For you, like we read earlier, He called you by name in Isaiah. I called you by name. You are mine. This is how near, how present, and how serious God takes His relationship with you. So rejoice. The God to whom you belong, he loves you. And lastly, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then this whole belonging to God is it's nonsense. Well, belonging is one of humanity's basic needs. We seek all kinds of things trying to belong. Neighborhoods, schools. You could go around, just join all kinds of associations and networks and get all the degrees that you want, trying to belong to something, trying to find satisfaction. Well, I'm here to tell you that true satisfaction and purpose, true meaning is found in belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. So rest in him. So let's pray. Lord, we recognize that we belong to you. And as a redeemer of the Lord, you call us as yours. Father, please forgive us in moments when we behave like as though we are our own masters, our own kings. Forgive us for the moments of temptation when we think that you are distant, you're far, but yet you are very present, you are very near because we belong to you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us live a way that is evident that we belong to you. Help us express the love of the Father. Help us model the work of the Son. Help us display the fruit of the Spirit in every aspect of our lives. Not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. Not just at church or some church activities or around other Christians, but wherever we are, Father. Like Paul was in the ship, that he was bold enough to stand up and tell everyone on that ship that an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve showed up. We will be fine. It will be done exactly as he says. That confidence we wanted, Father. The confidence to speak truth, but speak truth in love in the community. Help us be about you because we belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.